You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Markaz al-Sahaba.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It is the bliss of marriage, part two. Every Tuesdays and Wednesdays between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, I want to welcome all the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And of course, let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, that is Haji Faisal Asmal and company. Our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132 to the international overseas countries, +27847863132. I welcome my engineer, Brother Tubala. Let's welcome our beloved Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Honorable Ustad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum. Arafat, we need to place on record our sincerest thanks and appreciation to Maulana Salim Kareem. MashaAllah, Maulana Salim Kareem did a wonderful, splendid job during my absence. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala reward Maulana and his family, and likewise all the other ulama who are helping and assisting us on various occasions. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala reward them as well.
Ustad, we begin with a question here from Lanesia. What is istihadha? Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem, amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are three, four things independently you need to understand. If you are following the Hanafi school, then the minimum period of haid and menses and napaki is 3 days, and maximum is 10 days. If you are following the Shafi school, then minimum is 1 day, and the maximum is 15 days. So now, if the lady, she bleeds, she spots for 1 day, 2 days, and then finish, nothing else happens. So according to Hanafis, that will be called istihadha. She must continue with the salat, she must continue with the tilawat of Quran, touching the Quran. Husband-wife relationship can continue. If that lady was just spotting for a few hours, and then it stopped completely, so according to Shafi'is, that will be called istihadha, because it did not reach 3 days or more, according to Hanafis, or 1 day or more, according to the Shafi'is. So that is one definition of istihadha. Second definition of istihadha, you know, between two menses. So when the menses ends, and before the next menses start, then there must be minimum 15 clean days. So according to Hanafis, that lady, let's just say her habit is 10 days. And now, before the next menses can start, which must be minimum after 15 days, so after 8 days, 9 days, 10, 11 days, she started spotting, bleeding. So all that will be considered as istihadha as well. Because from the time the menses ends till the next menses start, then minimum you need 15 clean days. So for every first salat, she will perform a fresh wudu. Remember that, you ladies who have this problem of istihadha, you are classified as a ma'azura. Like how the men, they have plumbing problems sometimes, and that is the urine is leaking and dripping. So for every first salat, you will have to make a fresh wudu. So similarly, this lady as well. Or if you take the Shafi'i school, so maximum is 15 days. So let's say that lady, her habit is 15 days. And then after 8, 9, 10, 12, 13 days, she started spotting, bleeding. So remember, that will be considered as istihadha. Remember the law, al-mustahadatu kattahirati. A lady who is in istihadha is considered as a lady who's tahira, who's pak and clean. So she will continue her salat, she will continue her fasting, she will continue with her husband-wife relationship. All that will be going on as normal. Only thing you need to be careful is, when the time enters for that salat, then remember that you have to make a fresh wudu. So Maghrib time, when the Adhan goes for Maghrib, you make and perform a wudu. When the time of Maghrib expires and Isha time starts, you make a fresh wudu. When the time for Fajr enters, you woke up, you have to make fresh wudu. When sunrise takes place, and then after 15 minutes you want to read Ishraq Salat, a fresh wudu. So that is how it works for people who have these type of excuses. Otherwise we, Alhamdulillah, all mercy, all grace of Almighty Allah, with Asr wudu, we read Maghrib Salat, Isha Salat, all permissible. But if you have these type of problems, that urine problem, plumbing problem for the man, or the woman have istihada issue, then for every first salat, remember a fresh wudu, like the examples I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Ustaz, the sister wants to know, anonymous sister says, Mufti Saab, what are the signs of baligh for female? My daughter, she's 13 years old. Ustaz,
remember that we need to discuss this issue a bit in detail, and so the ummah can benefit, the listeners of Sirius FM, the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and globally there are people listening, Alhamdulillah, online. So first issue we must know, the earliest a girl, our daughter, can get baligha and mature is 9 years old. And the earliest a boy can get baligh and mature is 12 years old. So that's the first thing you should know. Second thing is this, that now your daughter is 13 years old. So we are speaking of Islamic calendar, 13 lunar years. Maybe you are counting according to Gregorian calendar. Be that as it may. So you must monitor your daughter's menses now. So remember, at this age, her menses should have started or will start any time now. And that will classify her to be a baligha, and she will be mature. Salat will be compulsory upon her. Hijab will be compulsory upon her. And the laws of, you know, fasting, all that will be compulsory upon her, Ramadan fasting. So all these issues here. Earliest the girl becomes baligha is 9 years old. Nothing happens at the age of 12, 13, 14. When she's 15 years old, 15 lunar years old, then automatically she is considered as baligha. And if she reaches the age of 13, 14, 15, nothing happening, you better take her to a doctor, gynecologist or somebody, and they need to check her up, because that is a sign of abnormality. She must get the menses when she is 12, 13, 14, latest 15. So that is my advice. In the case of a boy, so he, the earliest he becomes baligh and mature, is you will see that his voice is cracking and so forth, his mustache and all that is becoming apparent. But when he experiences the wet dream, he makes a map of Malawi or South Africa or Haman's Kraal or whatever, so you must remember, then he is baligh and mature. So in that case, if nothing happens till he is 15 lunar years, then automatically he is considered as baligh and mature.
Subhanallah. Someone is asking you, Ustad, that it says, I have an older brother, Mufti Saab, who is 2 years older than me. Naturally, we grew up together and we were very close. He met a girl about 3 years ago and I feel he has changed a lot, Mufti Saab. He talks differently, dresses differently, and does weird stuff that the brother I knew wouldn't do. Now, Ustad, he has no time at all for we siblings, of course, soon to be his wife, his girlfriend. Please advise us what to do.
Obviously, what he is doing is absolutely haram. Allah alone knows, this girlfriend, is she Muslim or not Muslim? And the way you are describing it, even if she's Muslim, that she seems to be a very, very liberal so-called Muslim. And remember, she is influencing him so much already and is becoming distant from his family.
Not Muslim. That
is not Muslim. So finish. So you must remember, how you're going to marry her? So when she is non-Muslim, and if you say that no, she will embrace Islam. So even if it's a Muslim lady, you are in an illicit haram relationship. If you are with a non-Muslim lady, that makes matters even worse. So instead of you influencing her to Islam, she is influencing you to go away from Islam and away from your family. So brother, if you know what is good news, you need to sever all ties with her. She might become the means of taking you right out of the fold of Islam, Allah forbid. And that has happened many a time in the past. It is not something, just a slim possibility. There's a strong possibility of that. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So my advice to you, the family, you speak to him, get some alim in whom he's got some confidence or some contact. Let him speak to your brother, and in that way, cry to Almighty Allah. If he doesn't listen, he still wants to be with this girl and behave like that, then you, the family, the brothers, sisters, the parents, you must ostracize him, excommunicate him, boycott him. Have nothing to do with him. Kick him out of the house also. And tell him, Al-Hubbu Lillah wal-Bughdu Lillah. We love for the sake of Almighty Allah, and we hate for the sake of Allah. We love you as you are our brother, but we hate you because of the actions you are doing in rebelliousness and defiance of what Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is commanding you, what Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is instructing you. Quran Kareem states, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Do not even go near fornication and adultery, and that's exactly what you are doing. Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about Ashratu Sa'a, that the time of Qiyamah will come. So what will people do? وَأَدْنَا صَدِيقَهُ. And the person will take his friend and bring him near and near and near. And his mother and father, وَأَقَّ أُمَّهُ. He will be disobedient, rebelliousness against his parents. So that's exactly what it seems his brother is doing. For 1 month, 2 months, just cut off ties with him and tell him, we got nothing to do with you as long as you are engaged and engrossed with that lady there. So we have nothing to do with you. Then, and cry to Allah, give out charity. He will come to his senses and realize that he's going on the path of destruction and ruin. Allah Ta'ala guide him and Ameen. Bring him back to Islam.
Ameen, 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 thumma ameen. We go to Azadwal. Anonymous sister says here that Mufti Sahib, I heard you early on speaking of istihada, and I heard you early on speaking of the signs of baligh for a female, for our daughters. The sister wants to know, Ustad, the minimum haidh for Hanafi. Please, Mufti Sahib.
3 days for Hanafis and maximum 10 days. And it's not necessary you must be bleeding all the time. If you're going to bleed all the time, 3 days, then you'll be dead then, you know. So it'll be like a hemorrhage and so forth. So even your spotting and so forth, and remember 15 days and more has passed since your previous menses, and now you are spotting, you are bleeding, spotting and so forth, and it is 3 days, 72 hours and more, so that will be considered as menses. Addamu Mutakhallilu kaddamil jari. That is the law, which means that intermittent bleeding, intermittent spotting, and all that will be considered like flowing blood all the time.
Ustad, we go to overseas. I think this is from Maputo, if I'm not mistaken. It says here, Mufti Sahib, wife asking for own house, as that was agreed upon at the beginning, and now everything has changed. Please, Ustad, urgent, I need your masla.
Yes, you not need my masla, you need Islam's ruling and verdict. Me, what can we do? We can't do anything. We are just here to explain to you the laws of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, the commandments and injunctions of Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Islam, roti, kapra, makan. You, the husband, you have to provide the food, you have to provide the clothing, you have to provide the shelter. It is the right of the Muslim wife that she is entitled to her own flat, her own house, whether it is on rental or whatever. More so in this case, when you propose to her, or you agreed from the starting that you will give her her own dwelling, her own shelter, own house, and then you said, no, we will see, we will see. 1 year, 5 years, 6 years have passed and nothing happening. So you, the wife, remember, you can tell them, you're going to your own home now, to your parents' home, and you will return when they have their own building, your own outbuilding, or your own flat, or your own house, as was agreed upon. Quran Kareem states, Surah 5, verse number 1, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu awfu bil-uqood. O you who believe, a iman walo, 89 times it is mentioned, fulfill your contracts, your promises, your obligations. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, al-muslimuna ala shurutihim. When you made conditions and you agreed, then it is obligatory, mandatory, compulsory upon you that you should fulfill it. Now you can't say that, no, my father is old, my mother is old. No one is saying you must go 100 kilometers away. In the same town, remember, the same place, nearby, just look for a house and so forth. Daily, you go to your parents, make their khidmat, and serve them and so forth. But you, your wife, your children, now are entitled to their own dwelling, and they have all the right to demand it.
Ustad, a very ardent listener of yours, of course, anonymous, all the way from Woodbank. She wants to know your masla, Ustad. I am married for 2 years. My husband is a professional person. Initially, Ustad, we were living with my in-laws. Recently, we moved into the basement level of my in-laws' home. My home is accessed by a flight of stairs inside my in-laws' house. My husband refuses to allow me to close the main door to my home. My in-laws keep the key to the door, and my husband refuses to allow me to have a latch installed on the door. They insist that the door has to be left open at all times. My question to you, respected Mufti Saab, is, am I entitled to have my door locked at all times, the main entrance door? Ustad?
100% you are entitled to that. No one has the right to enter into your premises. Your husband, I'm amazed that you say he's professional, but now what he's saying doesn't seem very professional. Remember that. Islamically, you have the right to lock your house, and no one can enter your house, nor your father-in-law, nor your mother-in-law, nobody, without your permission. Open the Quran Sharif. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks of isti'idhan. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama ju'ila al-isti'idhanu li'ajli al-basar. Remember, Islam has emphasized this issue of seeking permission, taking permission, because of the eyes. Anybody just enters, barges in, you could be in a very compromising position, meaning that you are not dressed properly and your body could be exposed and so forth. Read Surah Nur, chapter 24 and verses 27, 28, 29, and you need to show your professional husband as well that this is what Quran is teaching us. So yes, you have all the right to lock it up, and your husband and your in-laws are being very unfair, unselfish, that remember that, being selfish, that they say, no, the door must remain open. Islamically, that is not acceptable. Every couple, every person has the right for privacy, and no one can encroach upon your privacy. And I gave you the Quranic verses, Surah 24, verses 27, 28, 29, and remember that. The Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith I mentioned to you in Mishkat Sharif. And another point also, we must remember that we must try and respect people. Mm. It doesn't mean now you brought somebody's daughter and now you can make her work for you and just trample upon her. And so it's not that. In Islam, you must respect her rights as well. This morning that one person asked us the question, what is the meaning of that hadith? Khayrukum khayrukum li ahlikum wa ana khayrukum li ahli. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and your children. So people can say what they want to you. You don't have to worry of people. You have to treat your wife with love, with respect and equity. And therefore the Surah 24, Surah Nur, if you want the references, I give you the references also. Our Honorable Ustad, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, Hafidhahullah in Makkah, make dua for him, is very ill. So there he has quoted in Rawayul Bayan, Fi Ahkam al-Quran, Musayyida Aisha radiallahu anha said, Allimu nisa'akum Surat al-Nur. Teach your female Surah Nur, chapter 24. Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, an kataba risalatan ila ahlil Iraq. He wrote a letter to the people of Iraq. Subhanallah, these are the genius of Islam. He said the same words, verbatim, which our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha said, Allimu nisa'akum Surat An-Nur. Teach your female Surah Nur. So you come to know what rights Islam has given you. If you want a reference of that, open Tanwirul Adhan. That is a tafsir edited by our Ustad, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, Hafidhullah.
Allahu Akbar. The sister says, Ustad, of course, your ardent listener, she says, Shukran Mufti Saab. And she wants to know, know what are my Islamic rights as far as my home privacy and dress code in the home for my husband. She says, Ustad, I am totally frustrated and depressed, and I feel I was a far happier person in my parents' home. Requesting your esteemed was respected, Mufti Sahab.
Read, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, you and your husband, your timing has to be perfect. When your husband, you are married to him 2 years, 3 years, whatever. So when he's in a happy mood and there's nobody else there, so have a heart-to-heart discussion with him and tell him that now really he is like one type of oppression that is going on, and he must treat you with love and respect and so forth. Not now that anybody can barge in and so forth. Regarding your dress code, if it's you and husband and hubby only, then everything is permissible. You must remember that, so that if there's nobody else in the house, so you can dress in such a manner that you can seduce him and so forth and so on. But obviously, if your father-in-law, mother-in-law and them are there, then remember, you have to dress modestly.
084-786-3132. We go to, this is Muallima in Australia. Very, very informative program, Mufti Sahab. We all are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Mufti Sahab, when our youngsters or when our young daughters or young sons, they get married, what is Mufti Sahab's rule? Should they move on their own or should they move in with the parents? Ustad?
In the olden times, when we got married, you know, then we used to tell people, stay with your parents. Why we used to say that? The ghar kacche the or dil pakke the. The houses were not posh and beautiful. The houses were simple, but the hearts were good and magnanimous and big-hearted. Now ghar pakke ho gaye. Nowadays the houses are posh and very smart and you know all that. But dil kacche ho gaye. But the hearts have become very, very small and selfish and so forth. You know how many problems there are in South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, and wherever else you go to, Muslim countries, between daughter-in-law and mother-in-law. Leave everybody else. I don't have children, but my own sisters, my own brothers, they passed away. Allah give them Jannah to Firdaus. So they're all married now, the children, most of them. So I would always tell them, see, when this person comes, the family come, you must be transparent and honest up front from start. Don't make all hanky-panky stories and all that. Be straight and everything. Tell them, fine, we will give you our daughter, we'll give you our sister, we'll give you our niece or whatever, but this is the condition. They have to live separate. So in this day and this age, you will see that 80% of the time that the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, they don't click with one another. When you want to click and you want to work together, then there has to be these two ingredients. And these two ingredients, people are not prepared to do it. Number one, you will have unity based on the haqq. So haqq means you embrace the truth. People today want to embrace their own ideas and opinions. This is what Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the sign of Qiyamah. وَإِعْجَابُ كُلِّ ذِي رَعْيٍ بِرَعْيِ. Every person feels my opinion is the right one. You go fly a kite, my opinion is right. So daughter-in-law tells the mother-in-law, tame old-fashioned and anki kora khabar, that you living in the old ages, apartheid time, we living in democracy. So everybody feels that their opinion is right, and that is why the problem comes. No one is prepared to look at the truth when you speak of majority people. And second, there must be tawadu, humility. But majority of the people, again I'm speaking majority, I reiterate, that majority of the people brought the slogan of shaitan in their lives. Ana khayrun min, I'm better than you. What? Who are you to come and tell me? You see? So daughter-in-law tells mother, you don't come and tell me your nonsense. Mother-in-law cries, and then the son is caught up. One side is mother, one side is wife. So get away from all that. So put your wife separate, put your mother separate. There'll be more love, there'll be more respect, because there's no humility and people don't look for the truth. People look for their own agenda and their own ulterior motives. That is the truth that's happening. Otherwise, if you take my family, my in-laws' family, subhanallah, I was a very young boy. My brothers were married. They were living with my mother and father. So my in-laws, 10 sons they got. My wife is the only daughter, only sister. So they're all living there with the in-laws and sisters. Dil Barata, remember that the houses were big, the hearts were big, the houses were small. Today the houses are big, but remember the hearts are small. So that is the big problem. So if you're asking me today, so we will say for everybody's interest, remember that. See, I'll tell you a nice story. For Mona Arafat is a nice story.
My heart is big, Ustad.
You see that, let me finish this, then I come to that story. You see that this husband, daughter-in-law, mother-in-law story goes everywhere, international problem. So in this day, this age, we will say in 80%, let them live separately. But if both parties are very, very simple, very pious, very, very humble, then live together, it's fine. We got no problem with it. We encourage that. But these are the two conditions. You must look for the truth and you must be accept humility, then things will work out. Okay, you see, this is story, it's not Quran, it is just story. So now one day this big tycoon businessman is very busy, like you see. And now he brought his laptop and computer and calculator because the tax man is asking, bye, we need to have your tax papers. And then he's busy with his accountant and so forth, CA and DA and BA and everybody are there. In there the wife comes, he say, hey, hubby, mujhse mohabbat rakhte ho, you love me. She say, I love you so much. So he say, how much? So he took out his SIM card, he took out his cell phone. He say, see, darling, honey, I love you so much. Yes, cell phone here. Cell phone is me. And inside is the SIM card. So that is you. I can't operate. What if you got cell only without SIM card, it don't work. You got SIM card without cell phone, it don't work. So me and you, we are a team and everything. So she said, wah, wah. Ke se jawab di? What a wonderful answer. She went away. So he winked eye with the accountant. And he said, be sadi here. So she's a simple sign. She doesn't know that this cell phone was made in China. It got four some guts. So you must remember this type of thing. So today's world is like that. You must remember everybody being majority fooling one another. You understood? Bichari, what that wife know? How many some cards they inside? So she thought she's the most important person in the world, but he's busy with others also. So that is what happens. Allah protect us.
Ameen, 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 tum ameen. Half past 11 you are tuning and listening to. The bliss of it. I see Dr. Sab says, but will all four some cards be working in itself?
We'll ask him if all four wives are active.
Subhanallah. Dr. Sam wants to know, Ustad, of course, he says, very, mashallah, first time his wife is listening to the program. That is Dr. Sab's wife from White River. She wants to know, she says here, Hazrat, please, is it permissible for a husband and wife to go outside for a walk, for exercise and recreation, providing she is covered, of course? This is Dr. Sab's wife. Ustad.
If you are in a place, your garden and so forth, and you go for a walk, husband, wife and so forth, then it's no problem. But if you are in a place like lanes and everything, husband, wife, we go in the car, you get hijacked and kidnapped. Allah forbid, Fajr time, you find woman walking alone. You know how dangerous that is. That is, I come from Fajr, I see the woman running around up and down with a tracksuit and all. Definitely not permissible that. One is you exposing your tight, tight body and clothing and all that. And secondly, who's there to defend you? If one car just comes, picks you up and dump you inside, you'll be gone. So remember, we have to look at the situation. If it's husband, wife, and you are walking in your garden, private place and so forth, there's no danger, so fine. So we all need that exercise. But remember, if it is places like this, lanes and so forth, so for us men to walk at night is so dangerous. People even ask me, how you walk to the masjid? I say, no, alhamdulillah, we need exercise for hajj. You know, we have to do 100 kilos and so forth. So, mashallah, we still walk. But for women, the walk alone and so forth, definitely unacceptable, not permissible.
Subhanallah. I see Ma Shamim from Durban says, Mufti Sahib is good storyteller. Subhanallah. Ustaz, let's go to the next one. Somebody's asking here, Mufti Sahib, does one still have to read istikhara for a proposal if one doesn't have any doubts? Ustaz?
We all got married with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah. No istikhara, nothing. We just saw the girl same time. I told my sister and then fix up the date and this date I'll marry. So you must remember, today people, I can't understand this. They make istikhara and then they see they saw a dream and then the opposite party saw opposite dream and all that. I think the shaitan is troubling you all more than anything else. So let me give it to you straight what is needed. You boy, you saw ABC girl. You like her, she likes you. Her, the girl, father, mother are happy with you. Finish. You get married, no need for istikhara, no nothing. Provided that all of you belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You don't belong to the Shias and Qadianis and Aga Khanis. All this happy lot are non-Muslim. We need to be very clear on these issues. We don't have to curry favor with anybody. Shias are non-Muslim. Qadianis are non-Muslim. Aga Khanis are non-Muslim. They can have whatever name, Ali, Fatima, Ahmad, Muhammad, they're non-Muslim. So we must remember that first issue. Second issue is this, that you still got doubt and you got reservation, you want to make istikhara, you don't have to sleep, you don't have to dream, nothing like that. All that is not mentioned in Quran and Hadith. That is just some ulama, they wrote it. So what Islam says, you want to make istikhara, so you got two options. You got time, so read 2 rakat salat, and then in that you read Qul Ya Al-Kafirun and Surah Fatiha, Qul Ya Al-Kafirun, Surah Fatiha, Qul Wallahu Ahad. And that is if you have the time. And then you read the dua. So what will you recite? Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. Oh, beloved Allah, you select the best for me and choose for me. Same time, what comes in your heart, that's your answer. So, 3-4 words. Allahumma, you know, oh, beloved Allah, khirli, khara, khere, khirli, wakhtarli. Ya Allah, you select the best for me and choose for me. And this is not confined to proposal, marriage and so forth. A person contacts you, I've got a parcel, material or shoes or whatever, and now I'm prepared to sell it to you. I want the answer now. So read, Allahumma khirli wakhtarli, whatever comes in your heart, in your mind, that's your answer, Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. So today we got long, long stories. People want to sleep, people want to dream. One dream is positive, one dream negative, and all these years they just leave all this, you don't need that. And when you got no doubt, just make bismillah and carry on.
25 minutes to 12, I want to share a story with Mufti Saab. This is brother Zahid, all the way from Lodium. He says, Mufti Saab, I went to see a girl, I was interested in the girl, and the girl was interested in me, but of course because she took bay'ah to her sheikh, and the sheikh read istikhara, and in the istikhara the sheikh dreamt that there was a lion catching a springbok. And I don't know, Ustad, what happened after that. She phones me and she says that the istikhara came out negative because the lion was him and the springbok was her. Ustad, please help me.
So he says, lion, it was very good. So you must remember that you got the king of the jungle. So remember, you see, this is big problem. If you don't have the right sheikh will tell you this, that when you are ill, then you take the medicine. You don't go tell sheikh he must drink the medicine. So the sheikh should have told you, regarding istikhara, you must make your own istikhara. No way is proven in authentic hadith. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. No way is proven in authentic hadith that sahaba went to tell Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you make istikhara for us. No. Inna Nabiya sallallahu alaihi wasallam yuallimuna al-istikhara kama yuallimuna surah. Go open Tirmidhi, go open Mustan Ahmad, various compilations. The Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, Sahaba, his beloved students and companions, how to make istikhara, as he taught us how to learn the surahs, how to read Qul Ya Al-Kafirun, Idha Ja'a, Tabbat Yada, whatever surah, Surah Rahman, Surah Yasin, whatever. So everybody used to perform and make their own istikhara. This way we came from, people phone me, that make our istikhara. I say, I don't make istikhara. You make your own. So you must remember, that is Islam. So that is the true sheikh. But today the sheikhs want to show and promote their own so-called piety, that Meto Buzruk Ban Yahu, that I have become a big waliullah, I fly in another heaven. So you must remember, I will see the true dream. And the murid also, simple Simon, what they know what's going on. So remember that I don't agree with these things. It's not sunnah to tell your sheikh and this one and that one. They must make istikhara. We must practice on Quran Sharif. Sunnah Mubarakah. What Sahaba did, Awliyaullah did, and the four schools did. No one says that you must tell this one, that one. And it's not proven anywhere that Sahaba did that. Remember that. That's a very, very big proof that istikhara you must do yourself. Don't go and get other people.
Ustad, my husband is not straightforward. When he's in a corner, he blames me. Anonymous, Ustad.
Yes, that is the husband's trump card always. They follow Mr. Trump. So you must remember that when people are caught in a corner, they play the blame game. Balil insanu ala nafsihi basira walau alqa ma'adhira. That human being's nature is this. Deep down, they know they are guilty. He had an affair, or he was flirting, or he did something funny, watching porn and whatever. The wife caught him, so walau alqa ma'adhira, and he will give excuses. He'll tell his wife, yeah, you don't dress up smartly, therefore he's watching porn. So he will say that, yes, that when I want to fulfill my desires, then you making you sick, so therefore he's busy with his secretary. So people always look, and then they play the mind game with the wife, and the wife sometimes falls for the tricks, and then for real she thinks she is the problem, whereas the problem lies with the husband, but he's not man enough. His pride, arrogance will not allow him. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu salam defined pride like that. Batarul haq wa ghamtun nas. You're not prepared to accept the truth, and you look down upon people. Consider ourselves superior and consider others inferior. So this is an old trick of the husbands, that they will play with the wives when they are guilty, that they will make her feel that she is the problem, whilst he, the husband, is the real problem because of his pride and arrogance and because of his infidelity and flirting and so forth.
This one says, Anonymous, respected Mufti Sahab, our mothers taught us to tolerate mom-in-laws. My mom always said that neki and duas can't be bought with money. Of course, I'm not saying Mufti Sahab daughter-in-laws must take abuse. Mom-in-laws also must accept them and give them freedom in kitchen, Mufti Sahab. If our moms shout us, we tolerate. But when mom-in-laws say something, it's blown out of proportion. Ustad.
100%. I agree with you. Today, there are double standards. When the mother tells the daughter something, then she will keep quiet. But if the daughter-in-law says something, the mother-in-law says something, then the daughter-in-law will pull her face up. So you will see, and then the mother-in-law, when her daughter comes, then is different set of rules. And for her own daughter-in-law, is different set of rules. So in life, we have to love and let love. Kamat, everything you will see, I'm giving you Quranic verse or hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A mother-in-law, you must be loved and shown respect. No one says take your mother-in-law and dump her. No, we never ever say that. We say you must show love, you must show respect to your mother-in-law and so forth. And remember, mother-in-law, if you want respect, kama tadinu tudan. That as you treat others, so you will be treated, the hadith in Bayhaqi. So remember, this is where the fault lies. We have to go to the root of the problem. We have different standards for our daughter. We have different barometer for our daughter-in-law. We have different standard for our mother, and we have different standard for our mother-in-law. No one is saying you must love your mother-in-law so much like you love your mother. That is not what Islam says. Everything of Islam is natural. The love for our mother is beyond description. Remember that. It's a pure love the mother has for the children. But remember, respect, that we can. We should and show that. Respect for the mother-in-law and so forth. Don't undermine her seniority, her authority and so forth. So remember, I myself, I give you easy example. I don't have to blow my trumpet, but just to show you. So I told my wife, see, that your mother, your her mother, my mother-in-law, is blind. I said, you got 10, she got 10 sister-in-laws, and my mother-in-law got 10 daughter-in-laws. I said, no one can make your mother's khidmat like how you can make the khidmat. How long she will live, only Allah knows.
Yes,
so you make the khidmat as much as you want to, And remember, take a duas. I got no objection. I will just tell Ma make dua. And that's what happened, and she passed away. Yeah. So you must remember when you appreciate the elders. So what they will give you? We don't want money. You want their duas. Remember this. But today's children, grandchildren, daughter-in-laws, say, keep your duas. We want to move it up. So when you have such kind daughters and daughter-in-laws, then remember, Qiyamah is very near. When people, therefore in Arafat, Allah put in my head that dua. I normally forget that dua. But this year, Arafat 1440, I made this dua. It's a shame and a disgrace for that Muslim son and daughter to take their parents and go and dump them in an old age home. Even your iman is in question. What is wrong with us? Is everything just money, rands and rupees and dollars? Have our parents become such a burden? If you read about China and that, you will see some places, they take the stick or they take something and they hit their own parents. They say, you big burden, we want, you must die. So we, the Muslim of today, the modern Muslim of today, with satanic attitude in his head and mind and heart, we can say, takes his mother, father, and dump them in the old age home. If I'm there, I'll give you a good hiding. So remember that. Really, you need a good threshing. That's what you need. So you must remember for taking your parents and dumping them there in the old age home. So this is today's ummah. When they don't have time for their own parents, where are they going to have time for mother-in-law and father-in-law and all that? So you must think, tomorrow, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. We have to stand in front of Allah. Tomorrow is court case already. Today you shaking, trembling. Mufti sahab, give me dua. Maulana sahab, give me taweez. Imam sahab, make announcement. Everybody make dua. This is ordinary judge, human being. What will happen when you stand in front of Allah? So think about all these type of issues. So remember that if you want success, there must be iman, there must be taqwa. Then everything works with harmony.
Allahu Akbar. Ustad, you're making me cry now. I see Nani says Barabar from Pretoria. Ustad, I only get only one Sunday. Every Sunday my children come visit me. I'm at the old age home after my husband passed away.
See, now there's it there. I visit old age homes, I cry myself. That nanny and that daddy want to curse their children. I tell them, don't do that, because you're going to do that, your children will be finished. So see, yeah, you got it now. So the nanny is dumped in an old age home, and then the children will come once a week. I'm asking you, one nanny, how much she will eat? How much she will drink? This is the time to take the dua. But this ummah today say, no, dua can go fly a kite. We don't want problem. My wife says this. My daughter says this. Put them in the old age home. The ummah be iman ho gaya, be ghairat ho gaya. We have lost our moral compass and our moral fiber. That is what has happened to this ummah. Allah forbid, Allah forbid.
Allahu Akbar, ameen, ameen, thumma ameen. Ameen, tears will start. I see, mashallah, Nigel wants the broadcast. I see sister from World Bank wants the broadcast as well. And I see Muallima and Dr. Saf from White River. So there's four people wants the podcast. So inshallah, we will be sending the podcast to you, inshallah. Ustad, before we go for an ad break, somebody is asking you, Ustad, they just returned from Hajj. Mufti Saf, I walk in Masjidun Nabawi when Yad while on my menses. Is that permissible, Ustad?
Before I respond to that query, our brother Tobela is here, and inshallah in the next half an hour, 1 hour, it will be up on our website. So inshallah you can just go there to the website, www.markazsahaba.com, markazsahaba.com, and you can go to my website and you will find it there also within the next hour, inshallah. So www.muftiakhoosen.net, and inshallah then in your own leisure time you can then listen to it for the pleasure of Almighty Allah.
Ameen.
Okay, regarding the issue of Masjid Nabawi and so forth. So you know, one is the structure. So now if you look at where the men enter the king Fahd gate, or Bab Umar, or Bab this, Bab that. So you have the woman, Babun Nisa, the woman entrance and so forth. So there you cannot enter. So where the tiles are and all that, if you came there and you are sitting there reading Durood Sharif, Salawat, salutations, so all that would be acceptable. But to enter the masjid physically during your menses, definitely haram and not permissible.
It's 13 minutes to 12. A quick ad break, inshallah, from our beloved brother Tobella. Thereafter, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
10 minutes to 12 o'clock. It's a beautiful, mashallah, part two, the bliss of marriage. Ustad is firing this morning. Subhanallah. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, they would love to remain anonymous, strictly anonymous. My husband advised me that I should pierce myself, Ustad, my navel. Is that permissible all over my body? Is permissible, Ustad?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala made human being the best and the masterpiece of his creation. And I'm sure, sister, everything is anonymous. I don't know who phones, who send messages. So everything is anonymous here. Mawlana Arafat sees your number, he deletes it. So everything is anonymous. So remember, you know the surah by heart, Surah Watin, لَقَدَ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Indeed, this human being is made in the best of forms, in the best of shape and everything. So when this human being remains a true human being, a true slave and servant of Almighty Allah, then he even supersedes the rank and status of Malaika and angels. But when this human being becomes a slave of their whims, fancies and desires, as your husband is suggesting to you or demanding from you, ثُمَّ رَدَدَنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, then we return this human being to the lowest of low. They become worse than animals also. As you see today in the Western world and now the Muslim world, who is foolishly mimicking them and trying to imitate them. So remember that, then Almighty Allah states that these are the people, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. They are like animals, nay, they even worse than animals. Almighty Allah made you and me, all of us, the best of his creation. And now when the shaitan was expelled from Jannah, he took various oaths. So one oath the shaitan took, وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, I will command them, the shaitan said, and they must change the creation of Allah. Allah gave the sister, our daughter, long hair. She says, no, that Eve want to look like Steve. So now she wants to have short hair. That Islam said that Allah gave you one navel. They say, no, we don't like that. Now we want to put 10 navels. You understand? Pierce here, all these things here. So all these are satanic things, totally haram. Open Surah 4, Surah Nisa, and verse number 119, and Almighty Allah states, that the shaitan said, وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ, I will surely command them, فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, and they will change the creation of Allah. Today when you travel, you don't find two types of toilet. You find male and female, and then in between you find no gender, because they mixed up people, transgender. They were born male, but they became female. They were born female, they became male. So all these satanic things taking place. Quran says, if you listen to your husband has become a small shaitan by telling you that. وَمَنْ يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ وَلِيًّا مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ, whosoever takes the shaitan as his friend besides Allah, فَقَدْ خَسِرَ خُسْرَانًا مُبِينًا, it's an open failure and disaster. Surah 4, verse number 119. So sister, absolutely haram. Our aim must be to please Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to please people and encroach and violate the Sharia. Totally haram it is.
Ustaz, I'm actually having a good smile. I see somebody from Carolina. They say, Mufti Sahib, you know us very well. My wife says, I must tell you that you just gave the sisters a good idea regarding the cell phone. They say they're all going to check how many SIM cards is in the cell phone.
You must check properly. Your husband got there. And sometimes they will put mechanic. But you must remember, mechanic means the girlfriend.
Subhanallah. Ustaz, hijab, is it compulsory when you are baligh, Ustaz?
Yes, 100% compulsory. Surah 33, Surah Ahzab, verse 59. Read it and see what it means. Surah chapter 33, verse 59. I read for you. يا أيها النبي أو مصطفى حبيبنا صلى الله عليه وسلم قل لأزواجك tell your honorable wives وبناتك and your beloved daughters ونساء المؤمنين my honorable mother my beloved daughter my wife my sister my niece so all of them يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن the jilbab is compulsory and you have to cover your body cover your face also as mentioned by Abdullah bin Abbas رضي الله عنه who was and is till today Ra'isul Mufassirin, one of the greatest commentators of the Noble Quran, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made special dua for Abdullah bin Abbas, Hajjatul Wida, remember he was not even baligh, walam yahtalim, the words in Bukhari Sharif. But Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him. Allahumma faqihhu fid deen wa allimhu ta'wil. Oh Allah, give him profound, deep understanding of Deenul Islam and teach him the meaning, interpretation of the Noble Quran. He's buried in Taif and he said, Oh Hujjaj Baytillah, it's better I commit sins in Taif than committing one sin in Makkah and the Haram Sharif. Imagine. So that was their taqwa, piety, he's buried there.
Subhanallah. 5 minutes to 12, you are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. We are coming to the end of the program. Somebody's asking, Ustad, what should be given priority while selecting a husband? My daughter, she's 19. Ustad, please guide me.
Remember that for that question there, we can give the best answer what Nabi alayhi salatu salam give. What are we? We are ordinary mortal sinners and transgressors. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi sallam said that when you marry the lady, tunkahul mar'a li arba'in. Normally you look at the lady and you look at four qualities. Li maliha, her wealth status, her financial status. Wali jamaliha, her beauty, how fair in complexion, how beautiful eyes and all that. And then you see wali hasabiha, her strata in society, does she belong to the upper society or lower society and what have you. Wali diniha, and her deen, her piety, her character, does she belong to Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah or not. Fazfar bidhati deen, be successful with deen. Otherwise, taribat yadak. Otherwise, you will put your hand in the sand, meaning you will curse yourself. How come I only looked at beauty and wealth, and now this lady don't read one salat, she don't dress modestly. What example she will be for the children. So that is the aqidah, the belief structure, the character, the piety, salat and so forth. When it comes to the man, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, authentic hadith. When it comes to the man, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, somebody proposes for your daughter, your niece, your sister, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِمَّنْ تَرْدَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. So you must look at the deen. He must be belonging to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, not Shia, Qadiani and involved in haram things. And وَخُلُقَهُ, the character of that person. فَزَوِّجُوهُ, so then get your daughter, sister married to him. فَإِلَّمْ تَفْأَلْ, maybe he's not so wealthy, not so rich and what have you, and you don't get him married, get her married to him, takun fitnatun fil ardi wa fasadun arid, then there'll be mayhem, chaos on this earth, the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif.
Ustaz, final question, inshallah. See, we don't have much time, we've got about 2 minutes left. The sister from Leicester says, firstly, respected Honorable Mufti Sahab, jazakumullahu khairan for making time to answer my question and all the listeners' questions. She wants to know, is it permissible for a woman who's married to style her hair? That is, straightening, perming, curling, dyeing for her husband. Ustad.
If you want to do all these things for your husband, then 3 things you must remember. Number one is this, that ingredients you use must be halal. Second thing, it must allow the water to seep through it there. Third thing, it must not be imitating any fashion of any non-Muslim and all this Hollywood, Bollywood actress and all that. So you want to look smart and trim and slim and all that for your husband, and he says today makes you change your hairstyle a little bit this way, that way. So with all this, now you know 90% of the time these conditions are not fulfilled. So therefore we say it's not permissible, because people today, they want to use this style, that style, and then the water water will not seep through. They can't make wudu, they can't make ghusl. So then it's absolutely haram and not permissible. And you can't imitate anybody's culture and fashion. مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and Musnad Ahmad. When you imitate a people and a nation, you become part and parcel of them. Inshallah, our next program will be at 1:05, the tafsir, and that is Surah Mursalat. And today our verses are verses 16 to 24. Verses 16 to 24 of Surah Mursalat. 1:30, inshallah, from our archives will be Surah Bani Israel, verses 55 to 58, inshallah. So you can now listen to all the tafsir between 1 and 2 o'clock, inshallah.
We're going to love you and leave you on this beautiful, mashallah, Wednesday morning. See you next week, Tuesday, if I am still alive in my beloved Fadilatul Ustad is still alive. No cell phones, right, guys? From myself and, of course, Ustad and the listeners out there, we will be seeing you tomorrow morning on our program, As-Safinatu Ilal Jannah. From myself, Allahumma hadina wa hadibina wa hadina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.